Today on City Wrestling Media, CM Punk opens up about his time in AEW, Bray Wyatt becoming immortal, premiered on Peacock, and the Bloodline stands tall on WWE Raw. All that and so much more this week on City Wrestling Radio. Hey, welcome back to City Wrestling Radio. It is April 3rd, 2024. I'm your host, Corey Smith, being joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Jose Oseguera. How are you today, sir?
Hey, doing great. I'm actually doing better than Tony Khan, that's for sure.
Well, I think a lot of people today are doing a little better than... Well, I can't say everybody. It's probably millions of people who are having a worse day than Tony Khan, if you want to get into the reality. But...
Definitely.
Yeah, man. He's not having so much of a good day, you know. Let's get right into it. You know, CM Punk. Mm-hmm. He because we got a lot to talk about today. I feel like CM Punk sat down with Ariel Helwani this week during the MMA Hour podcast. I don't know if you heard the name of the show being mentioned on Monday Night Raw. Oh, I don't know, 70 times.
Yeah, at least.
Not one mention of the Punk interview, but that show was promoted more than. I want to say it was promoted like just as many times as WrestleMania, you know, on the show.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah. So, like I said, Punk sat down with Ariel this week. He talked about a bunch of things, one of which is his current injury and kind of comparing the night and day situation between AEW and WWE about how they are approaching this injury. Kind of said when it was an AEW and he was dealing with injury, no one kind of reached out to him. He had to do everything on his own, book his own appointments, you know, pay for everything out of pocket. Whereas WWE, they're booking everything for you. They are, you know, making sure you get to those appointments. They're doing everything they can to get you back to the show as soon as possible. So, you know, but like, there's a lot of things in this. What did you think of the interview overall? I think there's a bunch more topics to talk about. But
I mean, like they say, right? There's three sides to every story. It's my side, your side, then there's the truth. So, you know, I treat this with a grain of salt. I don't treat it as fact or scripture. I take it for what it is. It's, you know, he has some grievances. He's not going to be 100% happy with the company he was with. So, you know, little bit of this, a little bit of that. I can see some truth in some of the topics they touch, but again, grain of salt. What can you do?
But you know what it was to me, because did you watch the entire interview?
It was like an
hour and 50 minutes long.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that thing. I saw snippets. I should go back if I'm gonna have a, you know, an honest opinion about everything. But what I saw, you know.
I mean, he did go on to say at the end of the interview that, you know, his time at AEW was mostly, you know, beneficial for him and his career and mostly a positive experience because of, you know, a lot of people he met there and the experience, some of the experience he's kind of had there working with some of the people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, he did put that over. So that was, you know, and one thing that kind of stuck out for me is that, you know, if he was lying about things, like straight up lying, then couldn't they like somebody take him to court for some sort of like slander or libel or something like that? You know what I mean?
Defamation
of character.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with maybe, you know, half truths, I don't think you can, you know, stuff like that doesn't really win in court.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. A little bit of shit talking though, for sure.
And I did think, what I kind of got from this is I felt like he was like the old guy coming to work with the new guys, you know, and this happens at every job mm-hmm. I've ever had.
Yeah.
You go to any place, you can work at a Target, you can work at a butcher shop, you can work at a radio station. You're always going to have one guy there saying, this isn't what it used to be. They're not trying to run a real business. They're just trying to, you know,
McDonald's whatever. Does it better. This Burger King isn't right.
Well,
this Taco Bell's like, doing things different.
And yeah. It's not run like it was run when I was kind of the top guy.
Sure.
Like, uh-huh. I mean, mm-hmm. this isn't being run like, you know, the other shows being run.
Yeah.
And so to me, you know, okay, you're right. Take it with a grain of salt. Because yeah, I mean, he talked a lot about a lot of things. Another topic he touched on was the quote visit that he had to WWE while still under contract with AEW. This is when he apparently he ran into a group of wrestlers while on a flight. Liv Morgan helped him find his earbuds, and then that led to Bayley inviting him to the show.
You know, when these when somebody lies so specific that it sounds weird, this sounds like it. Not saying that he's lying, but this sounds like one of those almost too specific of a detail to not be a lie.
He's like, yeah, Liv Morgan helped me. She had a bag of peanuts in her pocket. It, you know, I gave her my bag because she really likes the airplane peanuts. So
she helped me find the left pod because, you know, the right one I know is there because it has a marker stain on it. It had to be the left one that she found.
It had backup earbuds, but, you know, those are kind of not as good as the other ones. And I wanted these to work out and so on and so forth. No. But yeah, apparently this led to Bayley, you know, inviting him to the show and, yeah, him kind of going and then getting escorted out. He touched on the All Out situation. Was it All In? No, All In. In Wembley, his fight with Jack Perry.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another one. I just choked him a little. How do you choke somebody a little?
His exact quote was, he didn't hit anybody, but he did just choke a guy, just choke somebody a little bit. But apparently this, you know, I think I've heard this before that, you know, he choked Jack Perry. He pushed him against the wall and choked him. Samoa Joe had to fight him off. And I guess he went to, he told Tony Khan, like, hey, handle this. And he went to his locker room. And Samoa Joe and the referee kind of came in and they just agreed, let's go out and have a great match, you know, because, you know, we're about to go on.
Okay, the downplaying that happens here. We have to address the downplaying. You know, Joe was behind me. I have some people with me. He told me to stop, so I stopped. So I looked at Tony Khan. I said, hey, this place sucks. I quit.
Well, he also said, well, because Tony, remember Tony about this goes, I have never been so, you know, felt so much in danger in my life. And I've been to wrestling shows before, and I've never felt in danger like that.
Yeah.
And which I thought was a little dramatic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally over the top. Yeah.
So. You know,
I choked him a little bit. What? Sue me.
Yeah. Apparently, there is an NDA though with the Brawl Out situation.
Did he say yes? Or I thought he said no.
He said with the Brawl Out, yes. He said he wasn't able to talk on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only thing he did kind of say in there was like, yeah, Larry really had my back, you know, to talk about his dog. But, you know, because he was, you know, talking about, you know, quote unquote reporters spreading a bunch of things they hear from their friends. And, you know, I don't know. It is kind of a sticky situation where it's like, I guess when people become friends with wrestlers and, you know, it kind of blurs that line of, you know, are you trying to put your friend over or, and I'm not criticizing any journalist out there. I'm just saying he does raise some questions there, you know. When somebody becomes friends with a reporter, you know, what is their angle, you know? So, so he also talked about his relationship with Colt Cabana, saying it is completely unsalvageable. Said Colt came up to him at one point, asked him if he's like, hey man, can we like talk about things? It feels kind of weird, which totally seemed like a Colt thing to say. And, he said he will never talk to him without a lawyer present.
Oh,
he also mentioned his interaction with Hangman Page and himself, you know, during that infamous promo because of, quote unquote, apparently the situation with Colt Cabana. And I guess they agreed to some sort of promo backstage beforehand. And then just when they get out there, Hangman Page took a complete 180 and kind of shot on the guy, according to Punk, at least. You know what I mean?
Story according to Punk, yeah.
Story according to Punk. So, I mean, like I said, you know, what is true, what is not, it's all wrestling. And even CM Punk goes into the interview. He says, like, he wants people to believe the bullshit. You know what I mean? He wants people to believe, you know, all that shit because it's just going to make him more money. You know?
Yeah.
Us talking about him right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to raise his stock. Not by much. I mean, it's just us.
No, free 10-minute commercial so far, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a good interview, though, because I felt like Ariel, while he does have his his past with Tony Khan, especially being on the show, you know, with that infamous interview where he was like, I've never been so frustrated as a journalist in my life afterwards. Did he lay into the questions? No, I just felt like he was just following up with good journalistic questions to ask somebody. You know what I mean?
It's the questions we've all been asking since day one. So yeah, he did his job there.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I think today, Tony Khan completely radio silent. How do you think like AEW should respond, or do you even think they should respond?
No, you ignore this.
Yeah.
Do as WWE does and just ignore this and don't revisit it. Don't touch on it. Don't make references. Don't make like parodies, little hidden jabs. Don't do any of that. Just pretend it never happened at all.
It'd be great if AEW turns this into some sort of billionaire TED sketch.
You know? Yeah. Oh my God. Like,
Milwaukee made metalhead airs grievances on AEW right. Live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that'd be completely dumb. But you know, the one thing I will say about this, and you know, I was listening to another podcast today, Matt Hardy had an interview with Chris Van Vliet. Another great interview, but Matt, you know, has said like, yeah, AEW has been a great place to me. He says, even when I was injured, you know, when I was to take time off, he said, don't worry, we're going to pay you for, you know, all your time off, pay you for this, pay you for that. And I wonder if it is kind of more of like a passion project, you know, like, let me take care of these people in a sense, but rather not invest in actually having a wrestling show, not a, you know, a profitable wrestling show, but more of just like, let me take care of these guys and let me just keep paying them to keep them on my roster. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, WWE has been guilty of that too. Where they'll, you know, give a guy, you know, perks while he's hurt just so the other side doesn't sign them. So, I mean, it's common. It's common. It's nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because, you know, CM Punk did say a lot of things like he said, oh, this isn't a business. You know, AEW is not a business model to follow in the world of pro wrestling because they're not here to make money. He goes, they're here to just have good matches, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Tony Khan doesn't need money.
But like eventually he will. He can't keep, you know, putting money into something and not have it, you know, be profitable at some
point. Yeah, if it's not profitable, it's not going to be on TV. So he has to, he certainly has some goals he needs to reach so he can maintain having a show. That being said, I think trying to be different and trying to be an alternative, it's what is the basis of a lot of the product that we're seeing. So, you know, I personally would like a little bit more creativity involved in their approach with the product. Once you get there, we can see some next level shit. So, you know, good luck, guys.
Well, they kind of had it for a minute, you know, they seem to have things going for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the stuff with Punk started to go downwards, it seems like the whole company.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if Tony, being the person who does everything on the show, is just utterly distracted, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Punk does seem like a stir the pot type guy.
Yeah.
He stirred the pot. And now, you know, everything in AEW is just like a big hurricane. And we're hearing reports of morale being down. We're hearing reports, you know, the releases affecting everybody. Yeah.
And, well, that's the thing is that Tony Khan, too, has always been the person to say, you know, if you work for me, you're working for me for your contract. You know, you go to work at WWE, they can let you go whenever. But here, if I sign you for 3 years, you're here for 3 years. And now he's letting people go, which is strange, you know?
It is, but it isn't. He's a noob learning the ropes. Sometimes you got to make cuts to your roster. Sometimes, you know, there has to be some decisions, hard decisions to be made. He's learning that in real time.
And given like there was like Parker Boudreaux and Anthony Henry.
Who? Yeah.
But Dasha, Dasha was cut.
That was weird. Yeah.
I felt like that was the one that really shocked me, because I mean, she was an announcer and she was great at her job. You know, she's been with, has she been with the company since day one? I feel like almost.
She's been there before Renee. It looks like Renee's taking up all the slots.
That darn Renee Paquette being so darn good at her job.
Yeah, she's good.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, he also, I mean, I don't know if he mentioned, but he did talk about Mania, right? Said it's supposed to be him and Seth at Mania. So says he wasn't initially supposed to win the Rumble. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of reports going around about that, but said there was
no pivot.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens in the coming weeks, especially with him. You know, he did kind of hint at, you know, what was it? He did say something about maybe being ready for a summer pay-per-view in Europe, and they did just announce a Clash at the Castle too. So
yeah, they did in June, right?
And that would make sense to have Drew versus Punk there, whether it's for the title or not. So,
good point.
Let's go on to our next topic.
I don't want to.
Well, I mean, the Bray Wyatt docking, Bray Wyatt becoming immortal, premiered on Peacock this weekend. Oh boy. Whew. It was an emotional roller coaster, because it's first off 2 hours long, right?
Wasn't expecting that.
Turned it on. I was like, fuck, 2 hours? Jesus Christ.
Minimal commercials. They did a lot of the commercials at the beginning of the doc.
Oh yeah. It was one of those ones where you watch like a 5 minutes of commercials at the beginning.
It was like 120, 180 seconds. Yeah. It was insane. Yeah.
But like I said, it premiered on Peacock this week. Taylor Rotunda, Bo Dallas, who's Bo Dallas, JoJo was on it, The Undertaker, for some reason, Hulk Hogan, Seth Rollins, Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda, and the rest of the Rotunda family were on the show. And, hour one was kind of like his rise in WWE. Basically, like if you never knew who Bray Wyatt was, like, and I really like kind of like this, because it would bring in the people, like the spouses of everyone, of all the wrestling fans. Like, you know, hey, come sit down with me, because this is a really emotional documentary. The girlfriend or the boyfriend or the significant other is going to sit down and go, who is this guy? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. He Husky Harris. Oh, he had all these characters. And then hour two hits and wow. It I don't want to say everything goes downhill, but it kind of does, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of starts hour two with the passing of John Huber, Luke Harper, and then his release from the company, Bray Wyatt's release from the company, his return, and then his death. And like, I'm not going to even lie. I cried hard watching this, watching JoJo explain the minute by minute, everything that was supposed to happen, and then how he passed away, and how she found him. That was really hard. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah. I almost wish they didn't go there. Definitely got a little toad in the throat. Definitely got a little weepy eyed. I think that probably went a little bit too far. Might've been a little bit in bad taste, but you know, it's there, it's done. We experienced firsthand how everybody was feeling at that moment, and I think we can all say that we were all pretty sad in watching this. I don't think if you didn't feel a little bit bad or have some sadness come over you watching this, then you're an evil person.
It was one of those ones. It's like, you know, basically the story goes is, you know, after, you know, COVID hit, Bray got COVID and he had a weak heart. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to wear some sort of defibrillator vest at all times. And one day he went to take a nap without it on and just didn't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And his heart gave out and they took him to the hospital and, you know, they pronounced him dead at the hospital. And, you know, I guess Taylor was like, you know, I have to be the one to kind of be the strong person here and kind of hold the family together. And yeah, man, it's a lot of your way to watch it. I mean, I know it's going to be a kind of a hard watch, but it is a good documentary, you know?
It's leaps and bounds better than the documentary we just saw on Sunday, the Roman Reigns one.
Oh, I didn't even see that one yet.
Oh, talk about, so he does it all in character.
Oh,
he yeah. He's you know, the tribal chief throughout the whole thing. Every once in a while you get a spec.
Yeah,
this is all the Cell Mania. None of this spoke real to me. I mean, they did, you know, some, you know, early in his career he did this, he did that, but they didn't focus on, okay, veneer Roman Reigns was the main topic. They didn't go with gap tooth Roman Reigns at all. They barely showed him.
He's like, I was born 2021, but I was born as a, you know, 40-year-old man.
Yeah,
you know, with great teeth and a great head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I actually didn't see that one. So I mean, I got to go out of my way to kind of check that one out. But I mean, if I but this one's, I mean, I'm already gonna say
it's not must watch. It doesn't add anything to the story. It's just Mania promotion. It's Tribal Chief promotion. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, there was a hint of a Bo Dallas return though.
So you know what, it after all wiping away all the tears and seeing that at the end and seeing the costume of the last Fiend, that kind of got your spirits and your hopes up a little bit that at least the story will continue here. Okay, this is what's bothering me nowadays. Everybody's mentioning story.
Right.
Oh, it's getting annoying. Okay, but I digress. Yeah, great doc.
Yeah, and, you know, it was revealed in the doc that, like, you know, while we all thought it, that was Bo in the Uncle Howdy costume.
Yes, it was, yeah.
With dyed blonde hair, so... the one thing I want to see that reality show that they were filming. It was like
the pilot. Yeah, that looked cool.
They were like hunting like conspiracy theories and like crypts and all those kinds of stuff. So
yeah, where's Loch Ness Monster? Let's look.
Hey Bo, let's go look for the Loch Ness Monster. Man. I think it would have been great.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nonetheless, let's get into it. Let's get into Monday Night Raw from this week. It's a go home show for Mania. What did you think of the show overall, Jose?
It was almost a nothing sandwich.
Really? It was
good in the beginning, good at the end. In the middle, it was, you know, okay.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, considering it's a go home show for WrestleMania, exactly. I thought it was pretty good.
Really?
I thought it was a decent go, especially with the main event angle with The Rock. It was just hot. From start to finish, I felt like.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying, but you knew it sucked because at the beginning you knew that Seth wasn't getting Rock, and you knew that he wasn't getting Roman Reigns. He's just gonna get Solo again. And it was predictable. That's all I'm gonna say. It was predictable. You knew everything was coming. I did get a kick out of the Rocky reference though, but let's continue. I'll let you know that shows up.
The Rock opens up the show, and damn, is this guy just like the most main eventer there is ever main evented a show, dude. Like,
dude,
he looks like $1 billion just coming out.
Yeah, and he commands the stage. The crowd does what he wants when he wants.
And the crowd is like super hot. They're very indifferent, you know, but they're all very hot. Even Pat McAfee saying something on commentary, like, oh, this is gonna be a good night tonight. But The Rock describes his beating down of Cody last week, quote unquote, splitting his head open on the bus. He said the only thing that was missing on this belt was the teardrops of Mama Rhodes. Rock said he made all the Cody crybabies cry after beating down the American Nightmare. He said, The Rock said you would beat you like a dog, and he did. They actually use, and then so he goes, nothing bothered me about last week except for this. And they point to the video screen. And I swear to God, I saw these videos online of the kids bawling their eyes out because The Rock killing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And this was fantastic because these are little like 3-4-year-old kids, both girls, and just like I never want to watch Moana again.
I want my Cody Rhodes back.
And I was laughing all week because I was sharing that clip with my girlfriend, like, isn't this the most adorable thing ever?
Yeah
And you know, The Rock says, he goes, you know, that really bothered me. So parents, I want you to sit your kids in front of the TV. You know, sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and sometimes, you know, when somebody talks shit, a man's got to beat the crap out of, you know, beat the crap out of them. So I thought it was great. It was about 10 minutes before he introduced Roman Reigns and the rest of the bloodline to come out to the ring. Oh, this is after. Sorry, he did mention that this is apparently the highest attended episode of Monday Night Raw with 15,546 people in attendance.
That's crazy, right? Ever?
That's weird. Yeah,
I mean, Monday Night Wars? Come on.
Yeah, I wonder how. I can't remember how many people. Was it like 30,000 in the Georgia Dome?
I don't remember.
Yeah. But out comes Roman Reigns and the rest of the Bloodline. Michael Cole says, during the biography episode of Roman Reigns, he said that if Cody defeats him on night two of WrestleMania, he's gonna be gone for a while. And that makes sense. You know, if he loses that title, Roman's probably going to take some time off.
Oh, yeah. Well-deserved, I guess.
Roman comes out. He says he puts family above all else, and he came to Monday Night Raw to acknowledge his family. And I love it. The whole crowd is chanting yeet. Mm-hmm. And he just looks. He's like, guys, no yeet. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Roman Reigns. I'm talking about The Rock, because I'm about to have the easiest WrestleMania, you know, once after we defeat these two goofballs, Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes at Mania. I'll have the Bloodline Rules match night two, and it'll be an easy win for me. Then Roman goes on to say that, you know, while we were here making it cool in 2020, Cody Rhodes was out doing a whole lot of nothing, which actually got some booze, you know, a couple of people booed that. Out comes Seth Rollins to the crowd, says he's not going to walk into a trap, but then issues a challenge for a Bloodline Rules match later in the night.
Falls into another trap. Yeah. How about that annoying fan that was in his face with their phone?
Oh,
right, one, like, in front of him. Oh my God.
It was probably this far away. And you know, Seth's like, get that fucking phone out of my face right now. Yeah. You know what, Rock?
Yeah, I was waiting for him to take a step up or step down at any minute, but he troopered on.
Well, then Seth issues a challenge for The Rock or Roman Reigns. He doesn't really care. But then he ends up, the challenge is being accepted by Solo Sikoa, who says he's not going to face Rock or Roman. He's going to face him tonight in a Bloodline Rules match. So,
of course.
Yeah, we have the match set for the main event tonight. Then we get clips of the MMA Hour with Rhea Ripley on it. You know, I don't know if you heard the MMA Hour. Go check it out. It's a great episode. Be sure to click 2 hours before the Rhea Ripley gets on, though. They talk a lot of good stuff, you know, MMA, whatever.
Oh, my God.
But basically, Becky Lynch interrupts, and they have a brawl in the studio.
Oh, I'm outside. Oh, I'm upstairs. Oh, I'm in your face. Don't talk about my daughter.
Okay, who can we get to brawl in, like, one of our houses? Like, just like, oh, my God. It's Casey Cannizzaro and Candice LeRae. There we go.
Nice.
That would make sense. But I feel like that's the level. Yeah, we wouldn't get Rhea and Becky. We'd get like some NXT people, you know.
Yeah, I'm down. Before there were stars.
That's true. Next up we have New Day and DIY versus the Judgment Day. And boy, were they just making this match just to make Damian Priest look like a beast.
Yeah,
because
they need to, because
in my opinion, we'll get into it later this week, but he's walking out of Mania with a title, and it's not going to be those tag titles, just saying, man.
Yeah, just, cool. I could see so, yeah, we'll so, talk about it in the preview show. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, he basically at the end of the match at a razor's edge to Tommaso Ciampa, got the pin and the win. The Bloodline backstage, and this is when Roman seemingly leaves for the night, and we get word that he is inducting Paul Heyman to the Hall of Fame, and Rock is inducting Leah Maivia, his grandmother, I believe it is?
Yes.
Yeah. Into the Hall of Fame. So that Hall of Fame is going to be another, like, angle. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Rock and Roman are going to be on the Tonight Show, and then we're going to also have Rock and Roman at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah.
There's going to be brawling on both. Seth and Cody are going to come out, and it's one of those things, like, you want to watch it all now. Like, I do, at least. I want to.
Yeah. You don't want to miss stuff. You don't want to find stuff off on X or Instagram. That sucks. You want to see it live.
Yeah. Speaking of which, is it tomorrow that the premiere? Well, if you're watching this when it's on YouTube today, WWE Speed
will be. Oh, that's right. What time does that come on?
9 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, that's not gonna happen. People work.
I bet you anything. No, it's going to be on X. It'll just be there, I think. You just like go back. Or okay. is like the live things, like, are they, I don't know. I'm not an X user.
Yeah.
Then we have my favorite training segment in probably years. I don't know. This is Coach Gable training Sami Zayn at the Performance Center. This is everything I wanted for the past couple of weeks. You know, Chad Gable in a full, was he in like a full suit or eventually he was in a suit, right?
No, he was in workout gear the whole time.
Okay. Workout gear. But he was in workout gear training Sami Zayn for his match against Gunther, you know, having him brawl against different guys. And then after Sami gets the Ramal, he applies the choke hold on him and Sammy's all pissed off. Like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, see, Gunther isn't going to care if you're tired. That's why you got to stay on your feet at all times. And that's when Sami Zayn breaks down and he says, I'm afraid, man. I'm afraid I'm going to let everyone down.
Taken straight from Rocky III, word for word almost.
Oh, you know,
word
yeah.
for word.
This is two guys like doing a dude like 80s movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like doing their drama class replay of Rocky III. Even mm-hmm. my girlfriend mm-hmm. walked past, was like, this is the worst acting I've seen in God knows how long. And I'm like, yeah. No, I know. And I don't know if it's supposed to be that bad, but they are wrestlers. So
yeah. And you know what's a crazy coincidence? I think I remember hearing a story about Moxley mentioning doing a program with, was it CM Punk? He was like, look, we'll do this thing like Rocky. And CM Punk was like, I've never seen Rocky. What is that?
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah. That was a John Moxley. Was it an interview or was it in the, yeah. I think it was an interview.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Judgment Day with Dominic Mysterio and the rest of Judgment Day are backstage. And that's when Legado del Fantasma walks in. And Damian Priest pulls Dominic aside and says, you know, I let you go do your thing, but now you're tagging with Legado at Mania. You know, put a stop to this right now. And Dominic doesn't seem to want to put a stop to this friendship with Legado.
No, he's come on, guys. Let's play some darts. They're shooting darts at Mysterio's Rey's mask.
Yeah, well, like a foot away. They're like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
I got it, dude. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we
talk about the when they come back from commercials and they're still playing, they're playing darts and what's his name? Jeez, why am I blanking on his name now?
Andrade?
No, not Andrade. What's his name? God. See, I shouldn't have that gummy. I swear to God.
well, it's Santos Escobar?
No. The Damian Priest.
Okay.
Well, he's like, he forbade. Forbode? Forbidden? Forbidden? He forbidden Dominic from having them in the clubhouse. And now they're playing with his darts. Yeah, yeah, and he's like, they're playing with my darts. Well, yeah.
Damian packs that in his suitcase every single week. Every time he leaves home, he's like, hey, babe, hey, Lana. Oh, sorry. I mean, whoever I'm dating, I don't know if it's Lana. I don't know if that's true or not. So I'm not putting that out there. I'm just,
yeah.
I saw some pictures. He's like, hey, where's my dartboard? And whoever he sings, like, it's right here.
Let me get it off the socks.
Yeah. It's like, thanks. Do you think like he has a travel dartboard? Because I think, you know what? It should have been one of those magnetic dartboards.
Oh, that
like,
would have been hilarious. Like,
but the felt darts or whatever.
Yeah, but then all the work they did during the match, that would just eliminate it from making it look like a beast to moving over instead of having sharp darts to have magnet darts.
Oh, no. It's Dominic's then. It's
Dominic's. Oh, Dominic's. Okay, Dominic's. Okay, yeah. Oh, that'd be hilarious. Or if you had the fuzzy ones.
Yeah. The felt ones.
No, the ones that stick to plastic.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sami Zayn defeated Bronson Reed via disqualification. And I don't know, man. I think they're trying to make Sami look like really good going into this match against Gunther. Last week, Bronson beat him, but Sammy's not getting his win back over Bronson because Gunther just comes out and beats the unholy hell out of Sami Zayn and Chad Gable for the DQ victory for Sami. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Sami versus Gunther, I don't know what's going to happen, but
wait, did Sami win? Or I thought Bronson won.
Well, didn't
I thought he got counted out before because remember he wouldn't come out, then Gunther dragged out Gable.
So happens when you're making dinner and watching Raw.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm not too sure what the final result is.
I think it was disqualification because when I was looking at the results, because
I'm willing to concede that, yeah.
And like, I don't know. I guess Bronson will definitely be the first challenger for
Sami Zayn.
100%. Next up, Jey Uso backstage. He runs into his best friend, Little Wayne, and Wayne says it's going to be he'll be at Mania with his world premiere of his new single.
Okay, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Well, they're also promoting Meek Mill at the again, don't search up Meek Mill on
not right now. You think maybe they're doing a switcheroo at the last minute?
What do you
you
think
they might? I mean, there's nothing but bad news following Meek Mill around.
I actually saw a license plate today. It said it wasn't P Diddy, but it was P D I T T Y, and I was like, oh, they are regretting that license plate. They are definitely regretting that. So, next up, Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. They actually beat Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell after Maxine hit a drop kick to Indy into Candice, knocking Candice off of the ring and rolling up Indy Hartwell. And Jose, I think you're right. I think Indy Hartwell's turning heel.
Yeah,
especially after with her reaction to how she lost. You know, just kind of like, how did I lose? And Candice is sitting there, is like, you should have listened to me.
And she was mad the whole match too, walking in, grimaced face.
Yeah. Roman and Rock, like I said, on the Jimmy Fallon show. That's when Seth Rollins and Jey Uso were backstage, and Jey tells Seth that, you know, he'll have his back tonight. They kind of walk away and discuss a game plan. And this kind of, I think this is when Seth said something. He says, I always have a plan B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Next up, we have Natalya. She's talking about her favorite WrestleMania and all of WrestleMania history, and that's WrestleMania 10. And guys, if you want to relive WrestleMania 10, check out our WrestleMania 10 retro review that literally just came out this week. Brand new episode from us, going back in a trip in time and space about 20 years? No, 30 years, right? 30 years. Jesus Christ.
Doge, what? I didn't do the math until just right now. Oh my God.
30 years ago. Not today. It was a couple weeks ago, but you know, hey, mm-hmm. WrestleMania 10, we did a retro review. Go check it out. It's on all the platforms.
Thanks, Natalya, for giving us the plug.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to add at the end, like, check it out at cityWrestlingRadio.com or YouTube.com/cityWrestlingRadio.
There you go.
Okay. Next up, we have the Drew McIntyre video package. And I don't know, man. Whoever is writing Drew's stuff is just great.
Yes. I'm totally with it. I'm on board.
He is writing, he's basically reading a eulogy for CM Punk's WrestleMania moments or his potential WrestleMania moment and Seth Rollins' championship reign. So, I mean, I don't know, man. They're really building him up, but they're also building him up to fall. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He could fall big time here. So,
Rick, isn't the word still that he's working without a contract, just handshake deal?
I believe he has a contract. I've heard murmurs of him having a contract.
Okay.
But you know, WWE has not gotten back to me about that. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Damn you dirt sheets. Yeah.
Next up we had pretty crazy match. It was one of those met nothing matches, but you know, still great. Ivar versus Ricochet winning with a 630 senton for the pinfall victory. Yeah, I don't know why, like, you know, they did mention it in the promo after this of Judgment Day, but like that Ricochet stuff was like, it's here, it's not here with Judgment Day. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like they're just back and forth with it. And I don't know where Ricochet fits in with the whole Judgment Day stuff. Like, why isn't he in the tag match? You know?
Yeah. No, he has a lot. He has a lot of irons in his fire. I don't know. You know what? I think they're using Ricochet as a one-stop AEW shop. For those of you that watch AEW, come by and check out this guy Ricochet.
He's gonna be they can't use the name Khan. Maybe he'll be Boney Khan, but CON. You know, I'm stuck with the Ted Turner, you know, billionaire Ted sketches.
Yeah,
that's all. Next up, Judgment Day is backstage with Legado del Fantasma. In walks Andrade, and well, Dominik offers him a membership to the Judgment Day.
That's weird.
Now Dominik's like offering memberships to people if he can beat up Ricochet, the guy that means nothing to any of the feuds, and he's like having matches with somebody else. Like,
yeah, and the conversation was weird. It's like, can you take him out and we'll make you a member? He goes, oh, so you need me. So Rhea interrupts, no, we want you to.
Yeah,
we don't need
it's
you.
All very strange, but you know,
so is he invited or not?
I guess he is. I mean, I don't know. Truth was a member of Judgment Day, and you saw how that went, you know.
Yeah, and you know that interaction he has with Damian Priest is always interesting. They're teasing something there. I don't know if they're teasing a fight or a union, because it almost feels like they're breaking up.
No, it definitely feels like the Judgment Days are numbered for them. The days of judging for them are will cease to be. Nice. They will have no more judgment on any day of the year. Anyways, Becky Lynch comes out to the ring and then calls out Rhea Ripley. Adam Pearce comes out. He tries to stop Rhea from coming out, but comes out and they brawl.
So. What did Rhea do to what's his name? She was like, "Ooh, look at the birdie over here." You go, what?
Oh, with Adam Pearce.
Yeah. Running to the ring. What a dummy.
I love Rhea Ripley, dude. She is just fantastic.
Yeah. I predict she wins on Saturday.
Oh, we'll see. Next up, Damage Control backstage. Well, they're about to actually have a match, a 6-woman tag match. Oh, excuse me. A team of Dakota Kai and the Kabuki Warriors taking on Zoe Stark, Tegan Nox, and Shayna Baszler, the faces of this match.
When did that become a thing? When did Tegan Nox join the team? What's going on? What did I miss?
They needed 3 people to beat. And, well, Zoe Stark's not going to be at Mania. Shayna Baszler is going to be at Bloodsport. And Tegan Nox, I mean, she just does a shiny wizard, and that's all, you know, and has purple hair.
Yeah.
So
that was weird.
Tegan Nox was supposed to be like the next big thing, and then she just kind of fell off.
Injuries?
Like, I mean, she had a bunch of injuries. Yeah, she did. A bunch of, I think, knee injuries and stuff. And she had a knee brace for the longest time. And well, basically, the end of the match had Asuka holding Tegan in place for Kairi Sane to hit the insane elbow and the pinfall victory. So, I mean, good on them. Damage Control, though, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with them after. It seems a little weird, you know, Dakota Kai. Io Sky, I mean, she never really seems to do anything.
Yeah. You know, she's really fallen off the mat for me, yeah.
And, like, I'm only using this analogy because it's the only thing I can think of, so I don't want anyone to take it the wrong way. But do you remember The Simpsons when, like, Homer owed the mob a lot of money? And then there was, like, a mob war outside his house with, like, the Italian mafia and, like, the Japanese Yakuza? Mm-hmm. And then there was one guy just like standing there, and they're like, well, what's that guy doing? They're like, I don't know, he's gonna do something really cool. They're like, well, he's just standing there. Like, okay, well. And then as soon as they close the door, they hear like, wah! And the other guy just do some crazy move. But I feel like Io Sky's been kind of like that. Like, she's the champion, but like not doing anything.
When's the last time she wrestled?
When's the last time she defended that title? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So next up, we have main event of the evening. Seth Rollins. I don't know. I guess there was never really a finish. Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa ended in a no contest. Well, this is a back and forth match. They had a really good match, but you know, like with things like Solo hitting Seth with a Samoan drop off the ropes through a table. We have a power bomb to Solo through a table, followed by a stomp. Jimmy Uso came out to hit Seth with a super kick. Jey Uso comes out. That's when Jay and Jimmy brawl back to this backstage area, and you see them both go backstage, and then Jey Uso comes flying out because the final boss, The Rock, he starts laying the beat down on Jey Uso, which I find kind of strange because he is family and they've never really had that interaction yet.
Yeah.
You know, to signify how The Rock feels about Jay. I feel like we could have used a little bit more, like, this guy abandoned the family, I don't consider him part of the bloodline anymore, or something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like they completely ignore him when it comes to Rock storyline.
Yeah, but at the same time, Roman at the beginning of the show mentioned something like, he's like, you think you're going to take this title away from me? You think you're going to take this money away from me? You think you're going to take the food off of my plate? The Usos plates? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The Usos.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, is he still benefiting from Bloodline royalties? I don't know.
Whoa, we'll find out this weekend.
But The Rock comes out to the ring, starts staring down Seth Rollins, who's on the ground, and that's when Seth starts laughing. And out comes Cody Rhodes to, well, attempt to lay a beat down on The Rock. But Roman Reigns, who left earlier in the evening, shows back up. And, well, The Rock and Roman just beat the shit out of Seth and Cody for about 5-10 minutes. It felt like 10.
Yeah. You know? At one point, even Roman was like, well, I think it's still time left.
Roman goes, oh, we still have like 5 minutes left. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's whip these guys. Cody, how far do you want to take this? And Cody's like, I'm a Rhodes. And they said, well, that's a good answer. Let's lash the guy with a weight belt on his bare back.
Jesus, not even on his back. You know how when you're feeding the back, right? There were moments when Seth and Rock were both like, no, 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 I'm on my side. No belt right now. No belt. Whap. No, no, I said no. Whap on your stomach. Ah, no, my elbow.
Man, but yeah, I mean, like, the Bloodline stands tall to end Monday Night Raw, to end the I know people consider SmackDown the go home show, but it's called WrestleMania SmackDown. I think SmackDown is like the pre-show to Mania. Because we're having the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on it, you know what I mean?
Yep, that's always been the main event, yeah.
And honestly, do you think they're going to have Seth and Cody and Rock and Roman all show up on SmackDown? I don't think so. Like, I think we're going to see something like they're going to recap what happened on Raw, and maybe you'll see Roman walking backstage, or you'll see Jimmy and Solo backstage, you know?
Okay. Or maybe some secluded location promos.
Could
some
be.
Pre-recorded promos.
Definitely. Oh, recorded at Raw? Yeah. At the Barclays Center?
Yeah, either there or record from I don't know, the basement at somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, every time, you know, who stands tall, who goes home, you know, or who goes over at the main or the pay-per-view. So,
like I said, you know, this is a bunch of fluff mixed in with some stuff. Yeah. So it was a little bit of a roller coaster. Some stuff, you know, like the Rocky stuff, the Becky. But
compare it to Suffer and Succotash. You know what I mean?
This is this chef's kiss. This is so unbelievable. What a great show. I love it. This is awesome.
the tug of war. No, my title. No, my title. Oh my God. That was for our Mania, wasn't it? I think it was Armenia. That was 31, right?
Mm-hmm.
31. Yeah. So that was 9 years. Jesus Christ, 9 years ago. Well, that's when Rock let us all know he's a Bay Area boy. East Bay boy.
Mm.
Now I'm an East Bay boy.
God, hey, congratulations.
Me and The Rock are one in the same. Maybe, and like I said, I got two things. I got Jacob Fatu call me Oos, and I'm an East Bay boy just like The Rock. So if I need some of those residuals, man.
You're more bloodline than Sami Zayn was.
Like, I think at least I should get like a $50 gift card to Trader Joe's or something, you know?
There you go, WWE shop.
Yeah. Anyways, that about does it here for us today. We will see you later in the week. We're going to talk a little WrestleMania going into the show, and we will also be here for both nights of WrestleMania. We've got a lot of content. And like I said, if you haven't watched our WrestleMania 10 retro review, what in the heck are you doing? I mean, it was fun for us, so it'll be fun for you. Go check it out. All right. For City Wrestling Radio, I'm Corey Smith.
I'm Jose Osgueda.
And we'll see you next time. Take care and have a wonderful WrestleMania week. Take care. Bye.
Stupid mic stand. Duh.